Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about 3D printing, some unusual things in 3D printing. So the general idea of 3D printing is the most common that you see, you can buy in the supermarkets nowadays for a few hundred dollars, is this glue gun, which is positioned in an XYZ space, and you have a feed of tubing into the 3D glue gun, and the glue gun just walks around and slowly builds up a goop layer. So pretty much like you did with plasticine when you were a kid. You're making a little house and you start off with the foundations and you build it up in 3D to actually build a little plasticine house. And it's very impressive to see it. If not, you see a really impressive viewpoint, a lot of motion and action. It builds it by one wire at a time. There is my wife's blind, and I bought her, well, I suppose mistakenly, a 3D pen. I thought, oh, this will be great. And essentially, you can, rather than get a robot to do it, you can actually do it yourself and work out how to make things in three dimensions and be able to glow things in three dimensions. The advantage with this is that you can, I suppose you can come in with different materials through your thing, introduce different materials and different colours. I'm pretty sure that they've done that. And I've had a few models built in 3D glue, 3D machining. I've had a few prototype parts and optoelectronics, and when I wanted to discuss the idea of a camera, this Ladybird 3D camera, for many years ago I had one printed up rather than buy one, just so I could show the politician involved, and I was able to paint it afterwards. And it's quite an interesting model. Now, of course, we want to in any of these things, the general idea is that I'm giving you an overview of 3D printing. I can remember in 1990, I was in Canada, and there was a big excitement that someone had the patent for 3D printing. I first heard about the patent for Bragg gratings and also the patent for 3D printing, and essentially it was a heat source in a particular bath, and it would be printed upwards as this heat source went around. It's miraculous things. And of course, what is it, 30 years later, or 30 years later, every band's dog's got a 3D printer. Of course, you've got the high volume throughput and stuff like that. And of course, this general thing where I'm talking to an audience there, what's the value of listening to me if I don't actually go a bit, take you a few steps forward? Now, of course, there's several ways you can go with it. Sophistication, direct improvement. There's different robotic manipulations with, oh, I've forgotten what the different scara. I've forgotten the robotics terms. That there's different types of robots which you can have with robots with high speed, moving in the Z direction. Three pillars in the Z direction pulls up a platform at high speed and positions it around the place with a pantograph down there. Or you can have the traditional X, Y, Z elements moving along with the X, Y, Z. You can have multiple things. Speed and heat is still a problem to get through it. And so where can this go? Well, it's gone. I think that I've seen a Russian firm. Look, I'm really just going off the top of my head. A Russian firm, which is, I think even Chinese firm, which rather than glue, has got quick-setting concrete, which just pours out the end of the tube, which they just slosh around, and then I think they show it at very high speed. This person who's lives in a little circular house with the doors at an angle and structure, and it's just built up like that. and I think it's got hollows and cavities in it, and it's obviously something with the reach of the robot, and of course you have something that builds the house up with the robot on the inside. I don't know how they managed that. They painted up, and I can remember possibly YouTube, this smiling people going into this lovely little house, which has been built at very high speed. Now, having seen the rate at which they put up houses now in Australia, like within just incredibly fast time, just laughably fast, a week or so, it's a full house from coming around. I don't think we're going to see. We may see 3D printed houses, but I just think practically it's not there. But there's also to say there may be some other idea of putting out material. And there's just so many design compromises you can do in something which is, if you're building something which is going to last 50 years and you save a week or 2 weeks on the actual building of it, it's almost inconsequential, and the actual cost of moving your robot around the place and setting it up and setting the power into your robot and getting everything organized, I don't know where that's going to be. So this is a 3D printer made big, so you're printing big stuff. That's there. And the ability nowadays to you can print something out up in wax or plastic and then put it in fine sand, and then heat it up, and then flow metal into it. There's a way that you can make these complicated specialist chambers for lasers and optoelectronics, making it that way. And so you've got 3D printing. One of my best friends, or I think one of the first employees of one of my companies, has just made it big in Australia. 3D printing. It's for rapid prototyping. And use. So that's 3D printing, and you've got your conventional technologies. Now I want to talk about another technology, which is you have your polymer, which sets. So you've got something which has to go from a coil to a liquid and then set. And so you can do that with heat. It goes like a hot melt glue gun, and you can do it here. Or you can have a liquid which is set with a refined UV lamp. And what they do is they have a glass tray and a puddle of this epoxy. And I do know a bit of epoxy chemistry. And or they have it sitting on a glass plate, and they have underneath it a UV projector, which projects each layer as it's going up. And they also have this on a special glass, which allows oxygen in. So you have it sitting on basically a glass table, but the glass table is got oxygen, so you can imagine a closed chamber underneath the glass table, and that is producing has oxygen pressed into it, high pressure oxygen, and it makes its way, it bleeds out of the glass. Now, one of the things is that the excess of oxygen limits the actual creation of it. So it limits the actual building of it, or the actual bonding. So oxygen inhibits, because if it's an epoxy, it's an oxygen bond. So additional oxygen stops the UV light from interacting, or so it stops the plastic when it starts to solid sticking to your glass plate. So what you can do is that you can have a seed stick and actually pull out of bath, a very shallow bath, a very complicated re-entrant object pulling up from it. Same principle of 3D printing, but you can actually just draw object after object, complex object after object, out of a bath. This shallow tray, it may only be 3 millimeters thick. The stuff grows in, it's been cured from underneath the interface, and it lifts out. And so this surely should be a high value thing. So there's different parameters, the amount of UV light, the temperature, and the amount of oxygen. So you just need barely enough oxygen such it doesn't cure onto the glass, so you don't, so when you actually fire the UV into it, it doesn't cure onto it. And and then you can change the components such it can be soft and pliable. And of course with this with the individual point, you can actually, I can imagine that you can have different sort of a heat chamber, and you have different colours and different materials being put into this heat chamber. This is on your pen idea, controlling a 3D pen. But this other layer sees that you can actually just build it at so many millimetres an hour for the curing rate of it. So I find that interesting, and I can sort of think of thousands of ways of doing it. I suppose that's the technology as it is. I sort of can imagine things where you just have a shape. This is, my ultimate idea. The problem is if you've got to move a large amount of material in to make your shape, and the shape has to be sufficiently complex that it's commercially better than to actually get a robot to construct it out of extruded components. But I sort of have an idea of... I love the idea of being able to just lift it out of a bath, so it not to exist, and then the complicated shape to be computer generated and lifted three-dimensionally out of a bath. It's got a real spiritual creativity to it, but you can imagine certain limitations to it. What I've got another idea, which I sort of would like, is to actually make... also, obviously for this, I'm sure there's 3D printed food that have to be, where you actually put in chocolate or something like that, different chocolates, and 3D print a chocolate person or a chocolate creation. It seems so obvious that you could actually, or you could liquefy chocolate, obviously, and something which is some sort of liquid polymer, and actually put it there. And I was involved in consulting for a gingerbread man. This was so poorly designed when I came in. This gingerbread man factory just up the road from here had a government grant for the university to come in, and they just had the dumbest robot I had ever seen doing it. They just made everything bespoke rather than just get a cheap ABB industrial robot which has got all the degrees of freedom and could do everything for a fraction of the price they did. They made everything bespoke, and obviously you had so many failure points all over. It was a disaster. But they had this one which had a robot icing gingerbread factory up here. Gingerbread man factory up here has a robot icing the little gingerbread figures that people eat. And of course that's the sort of thing I'm sure people would import it from China and stuff like that, but obviously fresh gingerbread made locally is one thing. And so I think they have a robotic icing of cakes, and basically piping icing is a form for 3D printing. So I'd like to see that. But what I really would be interested in seeing is where you could have something which is a multiple phase thing, where you could use a material and use UV light to charges to lay charge, electric charge, on your creation. Your creations out of plastic or clay. So I think you'll also do it with clay nanoparticles and stuff like that. And so your laser beam illuminates your object, and then then you can, it's charged, and then you have, you electrostatically just release dust into it, and that sticks. And so I could imagine that being a very slow process, but you'd be able to get all different sorts of materials built in composite layers, and built something quite quickly and quite, I don't know whether it would be quick, but of course the idea of actually just getting a bath and at a certain rate pulling this up, and you could well imagine it's just tweaking the reaction rate, the amount of oxygen in it involved. Now, yeah, it's a very, very fascinating thing. There's so many parameters. You'd love to play around with it in this surface. Yeah, it's just. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.